everybody. Welcome to Settle It in the Ring, the third episode. I am actually hosting. Knock off the noise, please. I am hosting the episode here, so this could be our last episode. Of course, it is a comer. And of course, tonight's contestants are returning champion Boxman.
Hello, how's it going?
The normal host for this show, Daniel Hummer.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I'm excited to step in the ring for this one.
Yeah. Hopefully it's not as bad as every time JR steps in the ring.
I'll do my best.
Yeah. And, of course, Eric is going to participate.
What's up? I'm back.
All right. Yeah. Good. For making all that noise.
Noise.
I don't know. There's a bunch of noise coming in on your end.
Yeah, it sounds like someone's cleaning their microphone.
Oh.
It's the only way I can explain it.
Is it better now?
Not really. It still sounds like something's going on.
It's all right. What is
it? Yeah.
Hold on.
It's a little better.
All right. Well, yeah, it's better,
better now.
Yeah.
There we go.
All right, good. I was going to say, Boxman usually edits our stuff. All right. So basically, the rules are, and they're going to stay the same, even though I'm hosting tonight. Rules are 4 rounds, 4 questions.
Yes.
Everybody gets a shot to answer. After everybody gives their pitch, a metaphorical bell. And we're going to have ourselves a nice little debate. Now, I came up with the questions here, and I have everybody's answers. And just based on answers, I already know in my head who's going to win each round. But hopefully the arguments change it.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, man.
Yeah. But
Doug's
as far as I'm going to... That's as far as I'm going to say it. But yeah, so there's going to be, you guys have some work to do tonight. So, all right, round one, question one, and Boxman, we'll start with you because you are returning champion.
Okay.
The question, well, let me get the question. Question one is, who is the greatest intercontinental champion of all time? Box, you're up.
All right. Now, I picked Ricky Steamboat, and I know what you're going to say. He didn't have it that long. But hopefully my argument will be better than just that, because I know we didn't have it long. But I picked Steamboat, just when I get into the argument, hopefully I can make it make more sense. So there's my answer and opening, whatever.
Right. Okay. Daniel.
I went Randy Orton. There's no one. Randy Orton served his purpose and what the Intercontinental Championship is supposed to do, which is you got a nice mid-card guy that you want to establish as a main eventer and get him to the next level. So give him the Intercontinental title, and that'll get him to be ready for the big leagues. No one has proved that or went at that model at the same way as Randy. He had one reign, one long reign, over 200 days, and yeah, he made something out of it, proved that he could be a star, and then went on to the next level. So that's why I went with Randy.
Okay. Eric.
Chris Jericho, 9-time champion. I'll leave it at that right now.
Okay. All right. So, ding, ding. Box, why is your pick for Intercontinental or greatest Intercontinental champion better than the other?
All right. Like I said, I picked Steamboat. One of the reasons that I picked him was just the buildup to this match. I remembered so much. And as a kid, I remember this whole angle that happened. It was back in the 80s, mid-80s, I remember that. Steamboat was going for the IC title against Macho Man. He lost by count out, but this is the match where Savage injured his throat. And that was the first thing that started the angle between those two, which led up to another great match, which led up to another angle with George Steele, which led up to the match that is still talked about today at WrestleMania 3, where Ricky Steamboat did win that title from Savage. And that was one of the matches of the years for that year by two different companies. So, like I said, I know he didn't have it that long, but if you look into the reason why they took the belt off of him, and I believe he dropped it to Butch Reed, actually, passed away recently.
Honky Tonk.
Oh, you're right. It was Honky Tonk. Butch Reed didn't show up that night, so Honky Tonk was the man. He dropped it because he wanted to see his son born. And WWF didn't like that, so they took the title off him for that. But, like I said, everything leading up to that, all the angles, everything, and like I said, that one, I remember watching that. I was a huge Steamboat fan as a kid, watching this angle, watching it happen, and just everything up till then, like I said, that WrestleMania 3 match still talked about today.
Okay. All right. Daniel, you're up.
Okay. Now, just to kind of scratch the surface of the other two a little bit, Ricky Steamboat, you can say that was probably the greatest WrestleMania match it was. Maybe even one of the better feuds of all time. Mm. If you're going to say the greatest Intercontinental Champion, put Macho in my perspective, because he actually had a big run with the belt, and even though it was just two, he did more with it. Steamboat had money on the table that he left, which, understandable, you know, kids are more, family's more important than wrestling, but that's what he did. He didn't get a chance to have this great monumental. Too many other guys' names on the list, so I would kind of gloss over that. Chris Jericho, I mean, it's hard to argue against. The only argument I can really make is that Chris always went back to the Intercontinental title because they didn't have other stuff for him to do. So he would go back to being a mid-card guy and running with the Intercontinental title. Randy did what the Intercontinental title did. It took a mid-card guy, brought him to the next level, and how can you say anything bad about the feud with Mick Foley? It's one of the greatest Intercontinental title feuds of all time. The old grizzled veteran that can't do it much anymore gets the cocky, you know, chicken shit. It was money on the table, and yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Chris Jericho, a 9-time champion. He held it for combined, I know, only 318 days, as Daniel said. Kept going back to it, but he had great feuds too. Chris Benoit's feud. I just watched the rest Royal Rumble one match of, in 2000. Great match, ladder match. He had classic matches. He had classic matches with Jericho, Benoit, Rey Mysterio, and then that feud with China, which was okay, but it was still a good feud. He made the title worth watching for, and even though he didn't have long reigns, he still had classic matches.
Okay, all right. Anybody else have anything they want to add? Any more cheap shots about everybody else's answers before I make the decision here?
Nah.
All right.
Nah. Good. Everybody had good points.
All right. So. Go ahead, Eric.
No, I said everybody had good points.
So here's the way I see it here, and I've been, ever since I got everybody's answers, I was kind of hemming and hawing, right?
Yeah.
Chris Jericho held the Intercontinental title 9 times. Unfortunately, a couple of those reigns were very short.
Yeah.
So just because you hold it 9 times doesn't mean you are the greatest Intercontinental champion of all time, especially in an era sometimes when the title really doesn't mean anything. But I'll get back to Jericho in a second. The Steamboat thing, he didn't have it very long, and Boxman does make a great point as the fact that it is one of the greatest WrestleMania matches of all time. I put it up there top three. Okay. But unfortunately, he didn't have it very long. It was unfortunate circumstances. I have my personal beliefs as to, you know, the whole dealings that went down. I have my feelings on it. Show ain't about me. I'm just hosting and giving out the points. Nobody gives a fuck about my opinion. but so I'm canceling Boxman out of this one because of the shortness of the reign. The Randy Orton deal. He held it for 7 months. All right. And he had awesome matches. The Mick Foley thing was awesome. And he only needed, he only had one, but he made that run count. So, round one, the point goes to Daniel. Okay? So Daniel is up 1-0. Now, it's still got a long way to go. Good pitch. So you're on a roll, but still got a long way to go. Still have 3 more rounds. There we go. So Daniel gets the first point. Everybody had good pitches. Everybody had good arguments. Eric, I was super
good job, Daniel.
And I'm flabbergasted. But
wait, you were super impressed.
Huh?
What did you say? You were super impressed with me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
I was actually giving him a compliment.
That's why he didn't know what to do. He's like, what?
Yeah. All right. Question. And Daniel, I'm going to start with you on this one because you grabbed the point. Okay. Question two. What is the worst WCW feud of all time? Your answer, please, Daniel.
All right. And I gave this to you, and I'm actually not going to. I'm going to go David Flair versus DDP, but it's more David Flair in the pages themselves because he spends a lot of the feud feuding with his wife, Kimberly. Worst shit I've ever seen. All I'd have to say for this is it's 99 WCW, but we'll get into it a little more once you ring the bell. But this was just, it was the epitome of Russo. It was the epitome of bullshit. None of this worked. You kind of, DDP was hot at the time, and you fucked with his run, and then you take the Flair legacy and flush that. So I just thought it was overall bullshit.
All right, Boxman, your answer, please, sir.
I picked the Sting versus Black Scorpion match. Actually, the whole feud itself, awful feud, stupid voice they used in the whole thing, and then. Next thing you know, it was a horrible reveal, and the reveal wasn't even who it was supposed to be. The guy who it was supposed to be decided to back out at the last minute. So, anyway, Black Scorpion versus Sting.
Now, Box, who was it? I don't think I ever actually heard who it was supposed to be.
It was supposed to be Al Perez.
Right, and then...
Ric Flair.
Out there, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, because he worked under the hood, right?
No. It was a bunch of people under that hood, I think, before it. And then next thing you know, it was Ric Flair.
Yeah. All right. Eric.
I chose Bret Hart versus Bill Goldberg, which happened in 99, too, right? I want to say.
Yeah.
Basically, this feud ended Bret Hart's career.
Okay. All right. Eric, you got anything else on that? You got any more of a pitch?
Yeah, I mean, the matches weren't that great. The flop ended his career, and we never saw Bret Hart ever in the ring ever again.
Okay. I do know one person that's part of the show that was celebrating that.
I am very quietly right now, too.
Yeah. I mean,
still celebrating.
And I know you don't like him either, but you were only two when this happened, so you couldn't really celebrate it yet.
Yeah. I put a little more milk in my bottle.
All right. Ding, ding. Let the arguments and the debate begin. Daniel, why is your pick, I guess, why is your pick worse than this?
Okay. Well, I mean, this is hard because all of this is ass, you know. I think the other two guys have picked equally terrible things, but all I'll say about, because Sting and Black Scorpion, everyone knows that, especially old school fans. The only thing I can say, though, is for at least the whole was bad, but when you get to the match, yes, you got Flair in the mask, but at the end of the day, you got Sting and Flair in a cage. So there's worse things to be said than having Sting and the Flair in the cage. Yes, everything around him was garbage, but at least working that match, it wasn't great. It wasn't what those two usually do, but it wasn't David Flair. I mean, that's like David Flair is probably the worst second-generation wrestler of all time, if we're going to get it. Charlotte had to save the legacy. David Flair was supposed to be all these things, and he was god-awful. He had no idea what he was doing. He did not know how to wrestle. They did not properly train him, and they just threw him out because he was Rick's son. And then you take DDP, who had so much momentum at the time, and you say, all right, this guy who's Ric Flair's son and probably can get any girl he wants is just this creepy weirdo who wants your girl, but he want her. He just wants to beat her up, and they put a crowbar in it, a crowbar on a pole, because everything on a pole sells. And they did this at Starrcade too. So it was I guess what you can say about Boxman that you can't say about mine is people remember that match. They remember it in a bad light, but mine was so awful that no one wants to remember it. Extremely unforgettable. And honestly, it was going around, well, I don't think it was around the same time, but it's the same year as Eric's. Goldberg and Bret Hart wasn't the worst thing going on in 99 at that time. There was so much worse shit on WCW. That's actually one of the better things. It sucked too, but at least you had two guys that everybody liked. And yeah, it ruined Bret's career, but Goldberg can't wrestle. Everyone knows that. To me, that wasn't as bad as this. So that would be my argument.
Okay. All right, Boxman, you're up.
All right. Well, I mean, you know, Goldberg versus Bret Hart may have been a bad feud, but the ending was fine. You know, ended well. Ended well. we'll just leave it at that. This feud was just awful in so many ways. Again, this character came out of nowhere. It was a mysterious hooded person who did Karate Kid, like, praying mantis poses at the time, and it was just absolutely the worst. And the match, yes, you may have gotten Sting and you know, Black Scorpion, otherwise Ric Flair, but Ric Flair was jumping around like an idiot during the match half the match. It really was not what we would expect from a Ric Flair match. And then, like I said, it's supposed to be Al Perez who backed out like that night, because he found out that Sting was going to get the title. So Al Perez backed out that night, ended up, they threw Ric Flair in it. I have a very, very, very good feeling this was all a Dusty thing. Yeah, I just thought this was one of the worst WCW angles I remember. And it was 1990. Sting was like still in his fucking prime. Right here. So, and then next thing you know, he's having to be, you know, this poor guy has to be, I mean, he was basically the face of WCW in 90. And then next thing you know, he's having to face this thing that no one knew where it came from or what it was doing. And then it's not even, it's Ric Flair. Who cares? Who cared? But at least you, but like, Daniel said, it was memorable. And that's a good thing when something is shitty and memorable, because that's how shitty it was.
Right. Okay, very good. All right, Eric?
All I got was I don't know. The matches were, I guess, not great, but yeah, I have not.
We got to try to give him a shot.
I'm throwing in the towel for this one.
Okay.
Well, one more thing I would say before we wrap up, whatever, is at least, and I'm going to keep going back to this, I'm going to die on this hill, at least you still have Ric Flair at stake. I would rather watch Ric Flair in a mud wrestling match against Big Dick Johnson over anything with David Flair in my life, okay? I would rather watch take a shit than anything that David Flair has ever done. So I guess that's all I got.
Okay. So, obviously, we're canceling Eric out because Eric got knocked out. Eric got hit with Big Show's punch.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the thing. And Boxman.
I had a hard time choosing, picking one, too, so.
All right, so Boxman, to correct you a little bit, Dusty wasn't there yet. This was early.
Oh, okay. That makes it – that sounds right, too.
And here's the thing about that. Ole Anderson, I think, is a worse booker. Well, I don't know if he's worse, but it's right up there with Vince Russo's booking. Okay.
Well, that's what we got here, right?
Yeah.
Russo versus Ole.
Yeah, and it's like basically asking, okay, do you want to be hit by a car or hit by a bus? Is what you're asking here, right? David Flair versus the Pages was dog shit. I get that, but also the David Flair character that we got, like, instead of being like the second coming of Ric Flair here, he's this psycho kid that because I actually enjoyed that whole psycho character, him and Crowbar and Daphne.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, but like the whole thing with the Pages, yes, it was horse shit. And Kimberly hitting him with the car, and then they had the match at Mayhem and all that. It was bullshit. But to Boxman's point, they had a murder mystery here. And at one point, because Al Perez backed out, you know, they didn't have a murder. So you have a murder mystery without a big reveal because nobody really knew who Al Perez was unless you watched, I think it was Dallas at the time. Because he was coming out of, USWA Dallas or whatever. I mean, he had a short stint with Crockett, but that was a couple of years before. So I'm giving the point on this one to Boxman. You
all right.
Still remember Sting and Black Scorpio. I mean, this was just god-awful. Yes, the Page, David Flair thing was awful, but at least, like, you can forget about that. By drinking until the part of the brain that remembers stuff is dead. So,
mm-hmm. Go on.
Every weekend. So, I'm giving the point on this one to Boxman. So, it is 1-1-0 right now. Eric probably could have saved himself if he tried to have an argument, but Eric also knew that, you know, Goldberg and Bret Hart, it's just, I mean, as shitty as that was, and you know, it ended Bret Hart's career. I mean, the ending of the career was accidental.
As I said, I couldn't think of anything, so that popped in my head, so.
All right, so Boxman gets the point on this one. All right, we're at question three, round three. We have... and the question here is if somebody comes up to you and says, hey, I'm going to start watching wrestling for the first time, what pay-per-view do you recommend I watch? Or what pay-per-view do you recommend I start with? Would you recommend? Boxman, you got the point from the last round, so I'm going to start with you.
I picked WrestleMania X7. That was... that was the one that I picked right there. Thought that was probably the best show. Just you really want to show someone what wrestling was and or what it was like used to be or could be. Show them that tables, ladders, and chairs match. you know, the Edge and Christian, the Dudleys, the Hardy Boys. Show them that match right there. That should get them. If that doesn't, you can show them the Stone Cold versus the Rock match, no DQ for the championship. What I mean, Eddie Guerrero and Test. All right. Not the greatest, but you had Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit. That was a great match back then. Nice long match. Forget all about what Benoit did. Jericho and William Regal, come on. This was a great show all around. There you go.
Right. Okay. Daniel.
I went the same year as Box. I went Royal Rumble 2001. It's hard for it to me. This is my favorite Royal Rumble event of all time. My favorite pay-per-view of all time. If someone wants me to show them how fun be also with the action, the spectacle, and, you know, great athletes as well. You got that ladder match with Jericho and Benoit, which is one of the best ladder matches. You got the walls on the ladder. Come on, man. That was awesome. You had two heels going at it for the title in Kurt Angle and Triple H, and it actually worked. And they went 20 minutes, and it was the Attitude Era. The ladder, end of the Attitude Era entertainment that's very underrated. And Royal Rumble match itself, you haven't had as many big hitters in a Royal Rumble match as you had then. There was actually a good amount of guys, at least five or six guys that you thought could win this thing. Big Show, Taker, Kane, Stone Cold, The Rock. And you get that stare down with The Rock and Stone Cold to kind of prelude into WrestleMania 17. So everything about this is awesome. So that's what I went with.
Okay. Eric?
I went with Bash at the Beach 96. This changed the course of professional wrestling as we know it, at least for the Attitude Era. So I'll just say that right now.
Okay. All right. Ding, ding. Let the arguments begin. Boxman, why is your pick better than the other two?
All right. Once again, that WrestleMania X7-17 really... Just like I was saying, one of the greatest shows, and that ladder match with those three teams, Edge and Christian, you know, Dudley Boys, Hardy Boys, a match still remembered today, never even close to duplicated. Crazy bumps in that match. And like I said, that wasn't the only one. You had this Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Rock in a no disqualification match for the championship. We even had the McMahon against the McMahons. Shane McMahon defeated Mr. McMahon. Come on. That's great shit right there to show someone. Taz and the APA. And like I said, yeah, Jericho and Regal for the Intercontinental Championship, by the way, since we talked about that earlier. But to me, this would be the one to show him. Once again, I would start right there with that goddamn edge, with that tables, ladders, and chairs match. And that should convince anyone that wrestling was badass. Unfortunately, the later you start getting into wrestling, we're dealing with what we have now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Very good. Daniel.
Okay. God help me, because I'm going to try to criticize WrestleMania 17 a little bit. But all I can say, first of all, Eddie Guerrero and Test has no business being on WrestleMania. I have no idea what that is. And why the hell is Test the babyface? that makes no sense to me. Also, Regal and Jericho is a whole angle about a guy pissing at another guy's coffee. Third of all,
that was good.
You get... With mine, you get the Rock Austin stare down to prelude to WrestleMania 17, and you watch the Royal Rumble exciting for what's to come. The only thing I can, probably the only negative thing you can say about 17 is that heel turn at the end and what comes after it, because wrestling, the later you get into wrestling, that's when wrestling starts to dip. After that, that's when things start going downhill up a little bit. At least with mine, you watch that, you know the next few months are still going to be as amazing as what you just saw. With Eric's, you take away the NWO thing and the show sucks ass, so there's not much I can say about that. Me and Box, our shows, it's more top to bottom. I think NWO was probably the biggest thing to ever happen to wrestling, but without that, really don't have a show at Bash of the Beach. What do you got, Big Bubba Rogers? And I can't really, in good honest, name you another match on that card. So I think that'll really tell you all you need to know. And the match itself with the NWO thing was not that great. It was just a moment. Me, I have moments, I have matches. One of the best and most underrated ladder matches of all time with Benoit and Jericho. And the chemistry even between those two Canadians, amazing. Triple H and Kurt Angle, they did what they did, and they did it in a great way. Even Ivory and China, they're royal. I'm not going to try to sell that. But the Royal Rumble encounter might have even been better than the WrestleMania encounter because it's set up for that. The Rumble match, I mean, Billy Gunn looked good in this fucking thing. You thought Billy Gunn could win the match. And I go, and Austin, on the baby faces, like, Austin doesn't get ruined for you on this show. Any Steve Austin fan who's loved to watch Steve Austin beat the hell out of Vince McMahon, at the end of WrestleMania 17, they're a little heartbroken. And it's not a story that actually ever really got paid off that well. In Royal Rumble, you watch two of your favorites, two of the top baby faces in the company, stay baby faces and try to win the Rumble and still get that action out of each other. And I would tell any, just that moment, that stare down between the two, I'd tell any new person, watch that. See the chemistry between those guys and see, you know, you can just cut that with a knife. Just the intensity. So, yeah. That's all I got.
Okay. I remind you that you are the original host of the show and that if you do win, that means I have to keep hosting.
Oh, shit.
So just take that into consideration. Take that into consideration. All right, Eric, again, you're up against the ropes here.
Yeah, I know. I'll give it my shot. I'll give it a try. Because originally my pick was Boxman, so.
That was mine, too. Probably shouldn't say that, but.
See, didn't I tell you, Boxman? We all thought all three of us thought the first one was WrestleMania 17.
Mm. It's a good one.
Yeah, it is. So I'll give it a shot. I mean, there was okay matches on this card. I mean, you got names like Rey Mysterio versus Psychosis to open the pay-per-view. You had Ric Flair defending his U.S. title against Conan. You had the Outsiders. I mean, the main event where Hogan turned on WCW, which still is one of the biggest storylines to this day. I know the card was dog shit, but still that moment in time still lives in, it's still talked about to this day. I mean, you still have big names on this card, so you have Dean Malenko. I don't know. Go ahead. I'm done.
Okay. So, a way to sell your argument is to say it's dog shit. Dog shit. Okay. All right. So here's the way I see it. Bash at the Beach 96 had that moment at the end. All right. But here's the thing. If you're gonna tell a wrestler, somebody that wants to start watching wrestling, that wants to get into wrestling, that this is the pay-per-view that, you know, will help you, you know, really get into it, they're already gonna start questioning their life choices when seeing Big Bubba and John Tenta and the Silver Dollar in a pole match. Both guys are, well, one guy's 550 pounds. The other guy's, you know, 375. So already, you know, that's a little bit. But then they get to Steve Mongo McMichael versus Joe Gomez. They're not only turning the pay-per-view off, they're throwing their laptop into the garbage. So, unfortunately, Eric's...
I know, I'm out.
Yes. I mean,
same situation as last week.
Yeah. So Eric's done. Now, between you and Boxman, Here's the thing. I enjoy both shows. So it's hard here, but you gotta think about it here. WrestleMania 17, it's an 11-match card. Not all 11 matches are great. You could probably pick two or three of those matches that shouldn't be, belong on the card. You know, you brought up Eddie Guerrero and Test. China and Ivory, you know, who really cares? And the other one I can think of is the six-man tag with the APA, even though they basically were given Bradshaw because Bradshaw's from Texas. Your pick, top to bottom, yes, good show, except for China and Ivory. You could gloss over that. So neither show is perfect. They're more perfect, obviously, than the Bash at the Beach. You had a really good argument as of, you know, the whole thing with Austin at the end, you know, and people that were fans of Austin and McMahon, Austin beating the shit out of McMahon, now they're aligned. And now we have, you know, the issue, you know, now it's, okay, hearts are broken because now the guy that beat the shit out of Vince McMahon is now kissing his ass. So you had a good argument there, but you know, boxing does bring up the tables, ladders, and chairs match. All right, so this is really hard. However, Dan, I am actually, believe it or not, going with you on this one. I'm giving you the point.
Wow.
Okay.
You're gonna get roasted.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
And that's just on Wednesday on Boxman Show. I'm giving you the point on this one. So you are up 2-1-0. Eric, unfortunately, is mathematically eliminated.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you. I have to the audience here. All right. So it is down to you two. Now, in round four, if there is a tie, which probably it will... Because Eric now can judge with me, if he so chooses.
Yeah. Yeah, I will.
So,
there's can, not I, be... can I reveal mine first?
Well, will you let me get to it, please?
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
Anyway, so we're here at round four. It's 2-1. In Daniel's favor, but Boxman can come back and win this because Eric is now going to be judging with me. Final question is, which member of the WWE talent roster is being used right now, they would be better off going somewhere else? Now, Eric, I'm going to let you reveal yours because you're judging with me now. So just tell me real quick. Don't get... It's because it doesn't matter. Who was your answer for this one?
Cesaro. I've been saying this for the last, like, 5 years. And Doug knows this.
Well, even the fact that he's probably getting a title shot tonight, that kind of cancels that out. But, all right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but still.
Okay. So, Daniel, you're up first because you're in the lead.
Okay. Ricochet. He's got all the tools. He's athletic. He can jump and fly around, which is what AEW loves. They love guys like Ricochet. Can talk, actually, a little better. When he's given the opportunity to talk, he does better than you would think for a babyface. I think there's a lot more areas to explore him that Vince won't do because he does not look like what Vince likes. They started to give him a push a while ago, and then Samoa Joe and – or no, AJ took the belt off. So they just haven't ever really done anything with him, and it seems like they're going to, and I think it's going to be another Shelton Benjamin to maybe he won't get an actual push for 10 years after he leaves and comes back. So I think send him to AEWs, even, maybe even TNA, whatever, but I think he could do big things elsewhere.
All right. Boxman, your pitch, please. Or your answer, and then your pitch, please.
All right, answer. I picked Aleister Black. Think he's a really good talent. Back in the back in the old THT days, Shaheen actually had me look this guy up before he came over and became Aleister Black when he was Tommy End. And I like what I saw. Really fucking good, very talented, but they just do nothing with him. I mean, basically the last time we saw him, the poor guy was getting thrown off of the roof of the Money in the Bank match. I think that's the last time we saw him right there.
I mean, yeah, pretty much. All right. Yeah. Okay. Ding, ding. All right. Let the debates and the arguments begin here. Daniel, why is your pick better than Boxman's?
All right. Well, I mean, he's got a great pick. And he's right. I mean, we have not seen Aleister Black. But I do think that the horizons for Aleister Black when he comes back are much bigger than Ricochet. We've seen what Vince can do with a dark character in the past. Look at The Undertaker. And they even tried, you know, when Undertaker was doing the thing with AJ, to kind of put those two, like, around each other a little bit. I think that they eventually could figure it out on Aleister Black and make him something special, especially what they've done with The Fiend and, you know, stuff like that. They can do supernatural characters. They can do dark characters like that and make it work. I think Ricochet is too much of an AEW archetype for them. I think he's too much of a high flyer. He's too much what he is. He's not the big, you know, he's not a Batista. He's not The Rock. He's just an energetic high flyer guy who is a little good on the microphone, but he needs to go somewhere else with creative freedom to where he can really spread those wings. I don't think he can spread those wings in WWE.
All right. Boxman. Your rebuttal, please, sir.
All right. First of all, I did think of Cesaro, and I almost put Cesaro. My problem is Cesaro is 40 years old. And, you know, at this point, I think he's just stuck in WWE and doesn't want to go anywhere, and he's got a check. But now, as far as Ricochet, Ricochet is, to me, good under a mask and not speaking. When he talks, he's as charismatic as a block of cheese. I think the guy is boring when he talks, unintimidating. Good in the ring? Yeah, absolutely. I won't lie about that. But if you remember, these two guys actually teamed up at one point. And it seems like, you know, they've given Ricochet more chances and he does nothing. This guy hasn't had that many, and he did get over when he was in NXT. Matter of fact, he was very over, which is why they brought him up after only, 3 years in NXT, which isn't that long. But I think this guy can talk. I like his character. I think if they're not going to use him, I think anyone else could use this guy, whether he went to – I mean, where is he from? Holland. Even if he went back overseas again or if he stayed here. AEW could do something with this, even though they've got a couple dark characters. But I just, in my opinion, I think Aleister Black is a better pick. He's only 35 years old, still has plenty of time. Tall guy, can do a lot of those flippy do's, and just think the guy is talented, man, and belongs somewhere else that he can be used and shown to us more.
Right. Okay.
So have more time, or
you got a little bit more? Oh boy!
All I'm saying is, Rick is yes, but you put him in a mask and you put him in AEW. I think he could still get over. Do the Prince Puma character. That's fine, and he doesn't. AEW has proven how many guys do they have that can't talk that just fly around that get over. Aleister Black, you have him go to AEW. He's getting put in the Dark Order. I guarantee it, and he's not going to do anything. I think Ricochet could have more of a run, but we'll see what happens.
All right.
So, all right. He's better under a mask, not speaking.
In AEW, I mean, I'd be fine with either. I think that they could have more creative freedom to work on the mic work there, but I'd be fine with him doing the Prince Puma character.
Round's over. Eric, I'm going to go first because I'm going to put the pressure on you to decide.
That's fine. I like the pressure.
Because here's the reason why. Aleister Black has not been on television for months now. And the reason why he has not been on television for months now is because Vince McMahon does not see anything in him. And I think also a lot of it has to do with the fact that Vince is pissed off still at Zelina Vega.
Mm. Well, yeah.
Who, by the way, Aleister Black is married to.
Lucky guy.
So,
if you want to support them, please purchase her OnlyFans.
Which is, you know, and yeah, exactly. And because, you know, people have to be punished for the sins of their significant others.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm punished a lot for what Eric does.
And Eric
for what I do.
Jesus.
That being said, my point is going to Boxman to tie it up. You did make a good point. And I do believe Ricochet needs to go back under the mask as Prince Puma and go somewhere else. But I'm giving a point to Boxman. So, Eric, Lord help us. It is up to you. Who's the point going to?
I was going to go with Boxman, too. So, I'm going with Boxman.
Well, I'm deleting Eric's Christmas gift. No, that was awesome. Point well earned. It was nice sparring with you, bud.
Very nice. Very nice. Now, is there a tiebreaker here or what?
No, he won. Fox, you won.
You got both points. Just...
Oh, awesome. I love it.
Yeah, because Eric became a judge because you guys beat the shit out of him the first three rounds.
That's right. That's how the tiebreaker works. I got it. Awesome. Yeah.
So you won it. The first person, I mean, we're only three episodes in, but the first person to successfully defend the title here.
There it is.
You just don't want to host again. I'm pissed off. I'm not.
Yeah.
Sorry, Daniel. But you had a good argument.
He was awesome. That was great.
Thank you.
But here's the thing. Just remember, if you're going to try to kill me, remember who drives us to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
If you kill him, you're going to get the car. So don't worry about that.
Okay.
It'll get your old restaurant.
I'm just bringing up a point here. I'm sorry.
All right, then. So being the fact that I probably won't be alive by next week's show anyway... Daniel will be back. The next episode is when? Saturday?
Saturday. I mean, we got to get with Boxman now to see when he can do it, but yeah.
Yeah, I'll be here.
I know what time is better for him.
Yeah, because he's the defending champion, but Plymouth will be on next time, too.
Yeah.
And we'll get somebody else.
Right. Not me, right?
Probably
not. Oh, thank God. Because Boxman beat the shit out of me last week, and Plymouth almost had me in the first one. All right, so Boxman is the with a successful defense of his title. So he will be back on the next episode of Settle in the Ring, which, by the way, will be, even though Elimination Chamber is tonight, and I completely missed the boat on that. That's what happens when you put me in charge.
Next week's Elimination Chamber edition. So
yeah.
The questions will be focused around that.
Right. So, all right.
Do you guys have any predictions for tonight before we leave?
I forgot all the matches already.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just the two Elimination Chamber matches.
I can say I can break a little bit of news here because I don't know if any of you guys are watching the kickoff show. Keith Lee got pulled from the U.S. title match. It's going to be and John Morrison won a fatal four-way, so it's going to be Lashley defending against Riddle and John Morrison.
Ooh, I did see that. I saw that on the old Twitter machine.
So
is Keith Lee injured?
Is
this part of the storyline?
I don't know yet.
I think that's what they're saying. Fox, you would probably, well, I don't know if you would know or not, but is Mia Yim cleared of the COVID?
I don't know. It's usually 14 days. I don't remember how long ago she said she was positive for that, but usually it's 14 days. So I don't know how long it's been.
And I know that they were that they recently got engaged, so obviously he's been near her.
I didn't know they were together. Wow.
Yeah, so because you can't really be 6 feet apart from somebody and put a ring on their finger unless you throw it at them. So, all right. Real quick, Boxman, do you want to give a plug to your show?
Yes, sir. Dirt Sheet Dudes. We are on Wednesdays and Fridays right after the wrestling shows, right after AEW on Wednesday, right after SmackDown on Friday, 9:30 p.m., right around 9:15 my time, 10:15 your time. Mixer.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. There you go.
All right.
Me and Smart.
Make sure to check them out. Boxman and Smart. And again, we will be back on Saturday for another Settle in the Ring. Friday will be the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. We'll be talking No Way Out 2001.
That's a bridge between our two
picks, huh? Yeah, the bridge between the two picks. And this upcoming Thursday is actually the 20th anniversary of the show. So it's very – so I can get the time – I can get the time right on there. I can be timely with that, but I can't be timely with this show. your show anyway. All right. So I think that does it. So thank you, Boxman. Congratulations. We'll see you again on Saturday.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. Always fun. Always fun.
All
right.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Later. Eric, we'll talk to you soon.
Yep.
All right. And Daniel, I'll talk to you in a few minutes.
All right, man.
When I meet you up at the house.
See you next.